Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are so lucky to have Dr. Arianna Scholes Douglas. She is a leader expert in the field of perimenopause, menopause. You have to stay tuned to the 2-part series. She's absolutely amazing and has very, very juicy wisdom. Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're very excited to welcome Dr. Arianna Scholes Douglas to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. She is the founder and medical director with Tula Wellness. She's also the host of the Stay Juicy Podcast, where she brings thoughtful, grounded conversation to women's health, emotional well-being, and relationships. And today is the beginning of a 2-part series. The first is going to be really focused on perimenopause and menopause, what's actually happening in the body, why so many women feel caught off guard, and how these changes affect mood, identity, and emotional regulation. And then stay tuned for the next week, because then we're going to take all of that information and we're going to move it into the realm of relationships and how perimenopause and menopause can affect relationships, intimacy, desire changes, even communication, and what couples can do. So welcome, Dr. Arianna.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And I also have to mention one thing. You also are an author of a book.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, the title of it.
The name of the book is called The Menopause Myth, What Your Mother, Doctor, and Friends Never Share It With You About Life After 35. And that came about because as I entered into perimenopause in my late 30s, I had no idea what was happening. And I was basically blowing up my life and finally realized a few years later that I was going through perimenopause. And of course, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist. At that time, I was practicing maternal fetal medicine, which is high-risk obstetrics. So it's a very stressful job. You know, little kids, a lot was going on. And I realized, oh, I'm a gynecologist, and I had no idea that this was happening. So I figure if I didn't understand, probably most women would not understand. And I went to medical school, so you would think I had some idea, but they don't tell you anything.
I just have to share this because EJ and I, both therapists when we were married, pregnancy, twins, blended family. And I was like, EJ, 2 therapists are having this hard of a time. Like, we have to help our community. So I love that you took your own suffering and made it into what you have made in today. I will just say I am a patient as well as Tula Wellness, and it has been life-changing. So I felt compelled to have you on as a guest in our studio live. So I'm so grateful that you're here today. And and I just know it's such a huge topic right now. You see it everywhere on all of the Instagram reels, like perimenopause and menopause, and it feels like funny and light. But it's like, it's really hard. And I know that I had no idea what was happening to me. Like, I remember my general practitioner was like, no, you just need to go see a psychiatrist. And I was like, okay. Like, I was, so the more information and knowledge we can have from an expert such as yourself, I feel like it just sheds light so we don't feel like we're going crazy, which is what I felt like. I'm sure my husband felt the same way. And I do. I think mine was probably started right after my twins were born, but I didn't know, right? But 10 years later, I figured it out, you guys. I'm 49, I just started HRT. It's awesome. Okay.
Well, I mean, can you first just give us like a little bit of your background and what you're doing, and just so people can kind of just acquaint themselves with you first?
Sure. Yeah, so basically, where do we start? I was born in Los Angeles. No. But I grew up in Los Angeles, went away to school, went to medical school, knowing that I wanted to be a gynecologist. I knew that I wanted to be a gynecologist when I was actually a teenager, because I had severe menstrual cramps. And that's a whole nother story. But basically, I was almost suicidal. And I was like, this is the most terrible experience. If I have to live like this, I don't want to live. So my mom took me to several different practitioners. And finally, she took me to a gynecologist who gave me the equivalent of what today is like naproxen and or Leave, and changed my life, because I went from basically being incapacitated for at least two days out of the month to being able to be a cheerleader and run track and do all the things that I had been doing. So I knew at that point, I was like, wow, if you could change somebody's life by that simply, like literally giving them a pill, like that's what I want to do. Wow. So that's kind of where it started. But I ultimately went into maternal fetal medicine, which is high risk obstetrics. And that was also because I had a pregnancy loss and a very complicated pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And just from my loss and all the things, I just was very compelled to work in that field. And I did that for about 20 years. And then when I moved here to Tucson, Arizona, I actually moved here to do maternal fetal medicine. But as soon as I got here, I realized that it wasn't that I needed a new location. It was that I just didn't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And so I had to figure out how to reinvent myself. So I did a renovation of my life, I guess. And I did the Integrative Medicine Fellowship at University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in the more holistic approach to health and well-being. And about a year after that, I opened Tula Wellness. Tula means balance in Sanskrit. And so it was really just about creating a space. And I really didn't imagine it would be what it is today, because I was just escaping my reality and trying to create something that, you know, I just thought I'd just do consultations and see people. And then it just evolved. And as I continued to go through menopause, perimenopause, and realized what was happening, that's, again, everything in my life pretty much has informed what I do.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to this point. So now we are a practice here in Tucson, and we focus on women's health, especially in midlife, and focus on really just educating women, because I've heard the story. I can't count how many times I've heard the story. I hear them every day of women who are dismissed or otherwise gaslit about their symptoms. And unfortunately, a lot of providers, they're ignorant. I was ignorant until I went and learned, but a lot of people just don't know. And so they just tell you, oh, it's in your head, or it's nothing, or, you know, just get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's like the classic story that a woman walks in that you're here, that you just hear that story over and over and over again?
Why am I getting all of this belly fat? What's going on here? I'm having issues with sleeping, and I don't want to have sex with my partner. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any libido. But a typical woman is just, you know, she may not actually say it, because I've gotten to the point now I can just kind of see it. I was like, you're not happy. Yeah. So I can tell that a lot of women are just, they're suffering silently, because they're, a lot of it is irritability. It's a really, you know, we talk about it from a more of a physiological standpoint, but there's an emotional, there's a spiritual, there's a lot of components to this part of life. Yeah. And it's, yes, there's a biological that's changing, but our brain chemistry is changing, the way we think, are just our roles as women are changing. And so we're not generally prepared for that.
Yes.
And so we're like, well, why do I hate people? Or why you know, why am I so irritable? Or women are just very much more likely to speak their mind or just not tolerate certain things. And so they're just like, I don't know, just all of a sudden I'm just telling people I don't really care. And it's like, I know you don't care. And that's why.
Can I share when I went to my first appointment and then I found out you had a podcast called Stay Juicy, I was like, oh, because I couldn't explain to EJ what was happening, but I was like, everything just feels dry. My emotions feel dry. Mm-hmm. My body feels dry. Yeah. My intellect feels dry. Like I just felt like this. Do you remember how many times I said that? So when like I saw that your podcast was like, Stay Juicy, for me, it meant everything. Like juicy from the inside out, because my life just felt like I just described it as dry. There was no other definition I could give it. So anyway, sorry, I just had to relate that to you.
No, that's perfect. I'm glad you got it, because people are like, Stay Juicy. What does that mean? I'm like,
I got it.
Juicy lives, juicy experiences, and juicy vaginas. Yes, woo-hoo! We want that too. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny because Tara mentioned earlier, like there's so much like social media, now you see it. And most of it's like pretty tongue-in-cheek, honestly. It's a lot of it's like sort of joking about it. And I think for both women, but also like, you know, we have a lot of men who listen to this show as well. Can you just break down like, what is it? What is perimenopause? Like what actually is happening?
Sure. So perimenopause, and for starters, you know, the definitions we have around this are not the best.
Yeah.
I think it's very confusing because menopause in and of itself is just one day. Menopause simply means the cessation of your menstrual cycle after 1 year. Right? Not for any other reason than you're biologically, it was time, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what menopause is. So people kind of think of menopause as this thing much later in life. Mm-hmm. But the reality is perimenopause can precede menopause by 10 years.
Wow.
And in different populations, they may have more severe symptoms and it may go on much longer. Yeah. So perimenopause is like the beginning of the end of a woman's reproductive stage, right? Mm-hmm. So we go from infants or, you know, newborns, infants, children, preteens, we go through puberty. Think of perimenopause as a reverse puberty. Mm-hmm. So in puberty, our hormones are ramping up. And in perimenopause, our hormones are going in the opposite direction. And so I always joke and say, but this time, we don't get to have attitudes and stay in the bed and not work. Like we still have lives.
Have
and
to do
so
life.
We have to do life in the middle of going through this pretty, what can be a very tumultuous change in terms of the hormonal fluctuation. So it's characterized by the fluctuation of estrogen in particular. So the main hormones that we deal with are estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen ultimately is going to decline, so but it erratically goes down to its lowest level.
Mm-hmm.
And testosterone also declines. And progesterone, which we produce when we ovulate, well, when we stop ovulating, we stop creating progesterone. And progesterone tends to be more of our calming hormone. Mm-hmm. It is the hormone that kind of tends to relax us more. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes along with the irritability, the issues with sleep. Progesterone affects GABA receptors in the brain. And so sleep is affected. The most common story, going back to your question, EJ, is I just wake up at 2-3 in the morning and I can't go back to sleep. Like that probably is the most common thing I hear, the sleep disruption. Yeah. And so what you were able to do before, you know, drink a glass of wine, have some desserts, whatever, you just those things are very disruptive now. So perimenopause is that period, and you can't know you're in menopause until a year in. It's a retrospective kind of diagnosis, so to speak. But at the end of the day, the two words don't have any meaning. Like perimenopause is menopause.
Gotcha.
And postmenopause is perimenopause, because it's not like when you're at the year that you stop having a cycle that you're just going to stop having symptoms. You're going to have the same symptoms very possibly.
That's so interesting, because I'm going to say like I'm at like 200 days without a period. And I'm like, come on, 365. Because I keep something like magical will happen.
Nope.
And I'm like, man, if my period comes again and I have to start at day one. So I love that you just had that clarity for myself, because it doesn't matter. It's the 365. I literally, in my brain, I'm like, okay, I'm at 201.
No.
I've got 164 more days until.
No. Until what?
Until I don't know. I thought that everything would just be done.
Okay. It's not done. It's never. But that's the whole point, is that we call it this. But at the end of the day, I'm realizing, because I'm 18 years out now from menopause, and I'm very postmenopausal, but I still have hot flashes. Mm-hmm. I still will have sleep disruption if I don't take my progesterone, or if I, you know, drink or whatever the things are that kind of rev me up. So it doesn't end, and I don't think we really have a definition for. We call it postmenopause, but what does that mean? That's like a third of a woman's life.
Yeah, I think we just call this is it. Let's just call it, this is it.
Yeah, but it's a whole new journey.
Yeah.
And I'm just discovering it myself, because there wasn't a guidebook for perimenopause, and there definitely is not one for postmenopause. Like, we're not talking about that yet.
I mean, it seems like also really confusing, because it's a collection of symptoms, right? It's like,
yes.
And they could all be attributed to something else, you know, like, oh, sleep disruption. Like, well, I'm stressed out. My kids are driving me crazy. I got a business.
Yeah.
You know, lower libido. Me and my husband haven't gone on a date in 6 months.
Of course,
like, why the hell would I want to hook up with him? You know, irritability. I got a lot you know, it's like, it's all these things that collectively could be driven by this shift, but you could also very easily just kind of poo-poo it, and it's for other reasons.
Yeah, and of course, if there are already stressors on a relationship, if you already kind of hate your job, everything comes to a head. And I tell a lot of patients that, you know, at the end of the day, this is a time period where I feel like, I call it the veil. The estrogen veil has been removed.
Yeah.
The estrogen literally affects our brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. It makes us nurturers. It makes us care. It makes us want to, you know, take care of people and be pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
But as our estrogen levels decline, our brain chemistry changes.
Yeah.
And then we're
double
just
middle,
like,
fingers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know, what can I say here? But
anything you want.
it's a thing. And so we're going through that emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. Like, there's a lot of changes. But if you're doing all of that and you're in a strained relationship, or you really don't like your job, then you're forced to really come to terms with your life. And that's what happens with a lot of women at this point. They're coming to terms with their life, and they don't like what they see. And then the question becomes, what am I going to do about this?
Well, and that's where what we know about research is that a lot of women, I think it's 70% of women, quit their jobs and or divorce their husband.
Yep.
Oh.
I know, like, it's also like, as a couples therapist, I always find, like, it's sort of a difficult balance, because, you know, I'll be with a couple who's in their 40s, 50s, and there's definitely some dysfunction in their relationship. Like, there's long lasting communication problems, intimacy issues. Like, it's glaring that we have to work on them as a couple. But then there's always this other part of, like, well, there's also this other thing going on for the wife around perimenopause and menopause. And, like, how do you talk about it in a way that doesn't sort of give the husband, you know, in a heterosexual relationship, like, sort of a pass of, like, yeah, you know, you got, you know, you haven't made your wife a priority in like 10 years, but, you know, let's just jack her up on hormones and then, you know, you can get away with that bad behavior or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen several instances of women who have been in relationships that were miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched literally over years. And it's been very gratifying at one point when they decide, okay, this is enough is enough.
Yeah.
And they make the choice to leave. And I joke, but it's serious. Every single one of those women that come back in my office, they're always happier. They're skipping. They have a new relationship. They're having the best sex of their lives. And I'm not saying that's, like, everybody, but these are relationships that were clearly, they were beyond dysfunction.
Yeah.
In my mind, I would be like, oh my God, but I couldn't say, girl, you need to get out of there. But
run like the wind.
But when they finally did, when they finally found the courage, and it isn't just about the relationship, but it's also just about them putting themselves first, what they want in their lives, right? Because we put our husbands first. We put our kids first. We put our careers first. We do everything for everybody. And then it just gets to a point where you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, what about me? Mm-hmm. What makes me happy?
Yeah. Well, I know too that like EJ and I, right, we own a business together, a couples counseling center. So like we were compelled to make it work and build emotional safety around all of the stuff that we've gone through. But like if we had any other job, like I don't know if we would have worked so hard to build that emotional safety, to talk about when we weren't having sex, to talk about my low sex drive, to talk about my resentment, my irritability, the mood changes after the twins, you name it.
And but so also talk about like balance and me stepping up in areas where you were over-functioning and that, you know, because it really was this like, and continues to be like a two things going on at once that you've certainly been working with your doctors around supporting mm-hmm. yourself in this manner, but it also like sort of forced us in ways also to look at dynamics in our relationship that were, you know, that were really problematic. Like, you know, just like one thing, and we'll talk about this more next episode, but just talking about sex, like that we didn't have a context to mm-hmm. talk about sex and the way we've had to talk about it, you know, in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That just wasn't, we didn't have to have those type of conversations.
Well, before. And I think that's something to piggyback on what Dr. Ariana said, is just like women in silence. Like I remember when my period would come, I would just write like alien is here, right? So like all my children knew, and EJ knew, alien is visiting for 2 days. I am not myself. Just don't bother me.
Yeah.
Instead of getting support, I isolated myself. Like something has taken over my body.
Yeah.
Just do not interact with me. And I'm sorry if I overreact. And that was like the wrong way to go about it. I needed support. I did suffer in silence. I think a lot of us do. And so being able to have a way to communicate with your partner about it, whatever it is, it actually is super helpful. I don't have to be alone in my menopause journey.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time because I'm already jumping into the relationship part, which we're going to come back to. If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story. We tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
You know, what's the advice that you give a woman? Because, you know, I think it's a lot of it depends on where you're at too, right? Like Tucson is a place where I think wellness is a little more higher in people's consciousness maybe than, I'm just thinking of other places where there's not women's wellness centers. You know, there's probably a ton of communities out there.
No, I think it's unfortunately pretty universal because even in Tucson, like, you know, even as of last week, I get patients that come in and say, my provider told me that I needed to be on antidepressants or, you know, something for anxiety, or they just gave me something to help me sleep. And they said they don't believe in hormones. Like I hear this every day. So it doesn't matter where
doesn't
you are.
Matter.
I think it's just really important to find a provider who's been trained. And what has been good, I mean, this whole social media thing, my book, I wrote it, I think it's been 6 years now. Yeah, 2019. No, going on 7 years. So this isn't a new topic for me, but I love that we're seeing more of it. But what it has done is it's kind of put providers on notice, mm-hmm. because now women are coming in and they're like,
"What's that?
I heard, I understand now." So what has been good is the education. You can't learn or think everything you learn on TikTok is true. I always say go back and, you know, trust but verify what you're hearing, because now people are just jumping on this bandwagon and they're just, everybody's an expert in menopause. So it's, you know, part of it is, has been also annoying to me. some of the advice and things that I'm seeing that people are, just things people are espousing on in social media. But that said, women are putting doctors on notice. So I attend what's called the Menopause Society meeting every year. And it's basically the biggest national meeting and the most recognized medically meeting of providers that are basically caring for women. And we call it the Menopause Society. But what is menopause? All it is what is a woman's life after she no longer is reproductive?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's another phase, but it's the last phase. I differ. I think that there are probably some phases in the middle, mm-hmm. or I should say there's that immediate postmenopause phase, and then there's another phase, and then there's another phase. I'm just figuring out for myself, like, oh, this is different. Like, it's, things are just changing. We don't have a definition for it, but it's postmenopause.
Yeah.
But now women are starting to understand, and now you can go to menopause.org.
Mm-hmm.
Menopause.org, and you can find a provider in your area who's been trained specifically for this, because the problem is that providers have not been trained.
Yeah.
Gynecologists have received less than 2 hours of any type of education in medical school or even in residency. Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Like literally.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Like, I didn't even know what perimenopause was until I was going through it.
Wow.
Like, it's become a more popular term now.
Right.
But honestly, we weren't really even talking about it 10 years ago. It just wasn't a real conversation.
How much of just like women's health in general in medical school post-pregnancy is there?
And therein is the problem. So we are not, I mean, when you think about how medications have been developed, even how our seatbelts and all types of things that weren't designed with women in mind, they were always designed under a male model. And women have always been kind of approached as smaller men.
Mm-hmm.
But we are so different, vastly different.
Yeah.
And so many of the presumptions that we make about how women are going to respond to anything cannot be based on the male model, because we really are biologically quite different. And so there's just certain assumptions that we've made that are incorrect, and we still haven't gone back. But the research dollars to women's health, just the priority, even in training, the priority is all about pregnancy. That's where you get reproduction and then surgical.
Oh, I mean, I love that it's coming and it's growing and it's developing, but it's like, you know, EJ and I know in grad school, like, you get an hour, maybe one class on family systems, couples are like sprinkled in there. So it's like, for us, it's like, you have to have a lot of training to be a really good couples therapist.
Training,
couples can eat you alive.
Like, reps, you know, that's the thing we talk to our therapists so much about, is like, you get better at couples counseling by doing couples counseling. And I assume if there's this whole, you know, generation of women who get no medical treatment for perimenopause and menopause, then the doctors have no reps in it. You know, they don't know what they're doing. They're not treating them for the right thing. They're giving them the wrong drugs. I mean, it sounds like one of the main things you're saying, if a woman is listening to this and she's like really being like, oh my gosh, this is resonating, is first, it's almost like educate yourself. Yeah. Menopause.org. We'll put up an image of your book as well on the YouTube airing of this. You know, educate yourself first, because you have to be an advocate, because you can't count on the fact that your physician will.
You said it.
Yeah.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah.
But that's literally it. Like, you cannot, that's like when the menopause myth, I go through several myths of what you think. So you would think, myth number one is that your gynecologist can help you.
Mm.
That's a myth. Now, it's possible.
Yeah.
But that's not,
maybe not probably.
That is not a reasonable assumption.
Mm.
And if you go into the gynecologist, into your whatever provider, even if you go in and you know what you're talking about, oftentimes you can be dismissed because they'll tell you, oh, no, that's not what's happening. You're too young. I hear that a lot. Yes. You're too young.
Somebody told Tara, one doctor was like, you shouldn't expect to have a libido. You're too busy. You got too much going on.
I have OCD that I'm too worried about it. B, that I shouldn't have a libido because I'm exhausted. I have my own business and I have four kids and animals.
Basically deal
and then
with it.
Three, you haven't been a full year out. You shouldn't be taking estrogen. I'm going to prescribe you Wellbutrin. I was like, that's when I found you. Why? Because my neighbor is like, you got to go to Tula. I'm like, what's Tula? She's like, it's life changing. And I was there within 3 weeks seeing the nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. Like Whitney's the nurse practitioner. Yes. She's wonderful. I got prescribed progesterone and I slept for the first time. This is where I could cry in a really long time. And I emailed her like the next day, like, you have no idea. Like one night of taking a progesterone, I slept 9 hours. I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's the other thing. Because I had been, the cumulative effect of not sleeping well for years.
Yes.
Like, what are the effects of that? I mean, there's like, that drives a human being crazy.
I remember I'd wake up at like 2 a.m. and I would be like, God, EJ. Because I knew I'd have like 6 sessions the next day of couples counseling. Like, I've got to be, my shit has to be on.
Well, and here's the other thing.
And I would wake up and then I started drinking more wine at night. I'm like, I just have to drink more to sleep. And then that definitely spiraled. Like, it just got so bad because I didn't know.
Well, and it drives couples apart because, like,
absolutely.
I mean, you resented the fact that I slept. You would
dare
be like pissed.
Be
she'd
snoring.
Like wake up in the morning. She's like, "Did you sleep well?" I'm like, "Yeah, I slept fine." You know, and then the other side is just like, men can't relate. We can't relate at all. We have no idea what the hell is going on.
Like, let's save that for episode 2. Though.
Yeah,
that's
everything
gonna be so
is
good.
Going on below the surface. Okay, so we really defined as best we could.
Yeah.
Menopause, we definitely defined. But also there was a little bit of in there of like, what does that really matter?
I'll tell you also, just giving you more kind of insight, what is it? It's a period where the estrogen fluctuates. That's where you might get hot flashes. You may not. People say, oh, the common thing is I'm not there yet. That's really what you're saying right now. You're counting down. It's like there is no there.
Yeah.
There is no there.
I know now.
There is not a destination. It's a journey. And once you get on that path, you know, once you realize you're on it, it's like it's a crapshoot. And you don't know. It's the rest of your life. Once you get on this path, it's the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in terms of the hormonal fluctuations. Perimenopause exacerbates that part. Mm-hmm. But that said, the insomnia, irritability, libido, joint pain is one of the most common symptoms, actually, that a lot of women don't realize that they're medicating. But estrogen, think about it, is anti-inflammatory. Mm. And so as our levels decline, inflammation goes up. Brain fog, what you were describing, not being able to sleep, a lot of women, it affects their work productivity.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's an area that I've actually started to do a lot more research in, is how does this impact women in the workplace?
Mm-hmm.
And it's billions of dollars that are lost from productivity because women can't function as a result of them not being able to sleep. And then that spirals into all types of other things. But the list, it started out a shorter list, I think it was 32 symptoms. But now that list has gone over 100 symptoms.
Wow.
And it's going to be unique for every woman. Yeah. Burning mouth, dry vaginas, joint pain, hair loss, incontinence, just
God,
fun
sounds,
stuff,
it sounds
baby.
Horrible.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Love being a woman.
But that's why we stay juicy, because it's not.
Stay juicy.
It can be horrible if you are, I tell people, if you are not aware of what's happening, it is the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this, I think sometimes it's nice to hear like an aspirational story as something of like, because if somebody's in it, they feel overwhelmed and just, you know, they're in the bad end of it. Someone who comes and advocates for themselves, meets a physician who actually can help them, what's the other side of it? Because you're saying it doesn't end, you know, you're saying it's not like there's not a cure to menopause, you know, but
because it's not a disease,
let's
be clear.
Exactly.
So we don't need a cure.
Yeah.
We need management.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, what does it look like when you're managing that aspect or that time of your life
was? Well, I feel like Tara has that. I mean, it's her life has changed as a result. Like
changed dramatically. Well, I'll just like this morning, my daughter, right? She's 12 and she really pushes every button. And usually, like before I started hormone replacement therapy, it must have been like very low estrogen because my blood work came back. It was like zero progesterone, zero estrogen, zero testosterone. Today I was like calm, didn't react, still did her hair. Hey, Mia, you can't talk to me like that. Like it feels really mean. I'm just trying to be helpful. Before it would ruin my entire day. I would cry in the morning. We'd have an awful argument. And then I would feel all this shame, like, oh my gosh, why can't I be a good enough mom? Like, why do I have to be so reactive? Just, it's like I always do therapy. I'm a big fan of therapy. I'm like, I could probably go to once a month now. Like, I don't really need every week or every other week. Like,
it's or just every day.
Yeah. Yes. It's just like this feeling of like clarity. I still have my brain fog, but it's so much better. I take my magnesium in the morning, but it's just like this balance. My sex drive is back. I'm juicy. I'm more juicy. And I know it's right. I'm still working on all of the like cleaner eating and healthy exercise. Yes. And I'm definitely just started strength training with EJ in our gym, in our garage gym, the Kerwin gym. So yeah, I'm trying to like take one day at a time, but I would just say, I just don't feel sad like I used to. And if I do feel sad, I know that I don't feel powerless or hopeless to it, where I used to feel like I'm in the wrong life. There's something is wrong with this life. I should be doing something else. That's not there anymore. But I think I felt so stuck in it and so like hormonally imbalanced that I didn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's helpful. Yeah.
Well, no, I think what you described is just, you know, by taking progesterone, it's very common. People will write back or in a review or whatever, they'll be like, oh my God, you changed my life. And then that's like, yes, I did. You're welcome. Thank you. but I love that because that to me is being able, that's changing somebody's life because the quality of a woman's life can change dramatically. Just being able to sleep, just not feeling like you're going crazy because you can't remember. For me, I thought I was having early Alzheimer's. So I literally...
Tara says that almost every day.
Yeah, I was afraid because I remember I was doing surgery one day and I was doing a C-section and I had done it over 1,000 C-sections. And I was doing it with a resident and I just, in the middle of it, I just forgot like what the next step, I didn't know what to do. And thankfully the resident was, you know, residents are eager beavers when it comes to surgery. They want to do everything and show you that they're, you know, good at doing this and that. And I was just like, yeah, great job. But I honestly at that moment, and it was scary because I, you know, this was my career. I'm the primary breadwinner. I'm like, oh my God, like what happens if I can't do this? Like, what does that look like? What does the rest of my life look like? I didn't know. And so once that's resolved, you know, that aspiration is going to be different for every person. It depends on how disruptive their life has been. And it's not to say that every woman is going to have this ridiculously disruptive time. Yeah. Lots of women breeze through it fine. But for those that aren't breezing through, it can change their life.
I think that was like such a poignant moment when you said that you thought you had Alzheimer's. It was so good. I'm sure for Tara on some level, it must have been good to hear like somebody else saying an exact same thing. And it was good for me to hear because again, back to that thing of like, I can't relate at all. And so when Tara's like, says something like, I forgot to pack the kids' lunch, I'm terrified about what's going on. I think something's gone on in my brain. There's this part of me that just like really minimizes it, like non-verbally minimizes it because I'm just like, one, it's no big deal. You just forgot about the lunch. Mm-hmm. Two, I just don't know at all that is something you're experiencing literally 3, 4, 5 more times a day. And then to hear you say it as well of like, yeah, that's like just, that's normal operating procedure. That's like, it's a common thing that's like highly distressing.
Yeah. It is. And the brain fog, I would say, I remember I was talking at a conference once and a lot of the participants came up to me and it was because I spoke mostly on the topic of the issue of women in the workplace and how the brain fog is really affecting all of the things and even confidence. Like it really affects you on so many levels because you're already aging, right? Yeah. And you're already seeing that. And so it's kind of like, wait, whoa, whoa, what? What? Yeah. This is.
But you're also super young.
Right.
That's what's so.
That's the thing.
The mind bend, right?
Is like. Right. That's why people are like, I'm not there yet. I'm like, yes, you are. Are you, do you have brain fog and you wake up at 2 a.m? Then you're there.
Yeah.
So that's why I say menopause. Yeah, totally. I want you to call me on day 365. day 366. And then tell me how differently you feel.
Okay,
because.
Well, that's crazy, right? Because it is. It's like it's happening to women 35, 45, 55. That is super young.
You know, and 60, it's in the.
60 is young. We don't think old now till like old is until 80 or 90. And so it almost feels like, yeah, I should go through perimenopause when I'm like 85 or so.
Well, I think most women think of it like late 50s, 60s.
Yeah, that's what
they
I did.
They think oh, that's far away.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, if you were the average age of menopause is 51, 52, that means that's the average age that a woman stopped having a menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
But that range, normal range for menopause, can start at 40. Yeah. Right?
Which means it kicked off at 30?
It could, for some women, start having perimenopausal symptoms in their early 30s.
Yeah.
So for me, I was menopausal around 42, and I believe I was having symptoms. They didn't become severe until I was probably 37, 38.
Yeah.
By 40, I was literally, and this is how I really knew I was in perimenopause, true story, I literally wanted to kill my husband. I wanted to poison him. I went, and I tell this story all the time, I Googled poison, and I was like, oh, you know, you can't Google these things. People are too smart these days. You get caught.
It'll be on Dateline. Anything.
Right, because he watches Dateline like every Friday, and I remember thinking, damn it, I just gave it away, but I know I wasn't smart enough to get away with murder. I just knew I wouldn't be smart enough, but when I tell you I wanted him to die, I despised him, and he didn't do any, like, you know, just the normal things.
Yeah.
But he was just literally his chewing, his breathing, just looking at him, I just had contempt.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he didn't do anything. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me.
Well, that's the hard thing,
sorry,
right?
I'm just like,
our internal suffering, we want to find something external, right, to blame it on. I mean, I think Tara's definitely hated me at many times. And but I'm like, oh, yes. I'm hateable at times. It's just maybe I'm hateable to like a 4, not an 11.
Well, no, not only that, but I'm also thinking about one case I was staffing with a therapist. She's like, her husband chews and she wants to kill him. And I was like, oh my gosh, this probably is why.
Yeah.
Like he can't chew and he's not allowed to breathe. Or his breathing. She doesn't like his breathing. And I was like, really? That's like a lot of contempt, I remember.
Stay tuned next week because we're going to take this conversation directly into the heart of relationships and how it applies. But before we end today, Dr. Arellano, could you just give us a quick, if somebody's in Tucson, because we have a ton of listeners here in Tucson, tell them about how to get a hold of you and your center. And then also someone who's out of town and who just wants to learn more, connect with you.
Sure. Yeah. So in Tucson, obviously, Tula Wellness and Aesthetics is where we are. We take not all insurance, but most commercial insurance. And in our first visit, you're going to get a good hour of just education because that's really important to just, you know, get you empowered. But you can reach us there at Tula Wellness and Aesthetics and at our website, TulaWellnessMD.com. We're on Instagram. And then I'm Dr. Arellano, so I do consultations for people. I call it menopause coaching, but I do some coaching, so to speak, for people out of state.
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you for your juicy wisdom. We can't wait to have you back on for part 2, Juicy in the Bedroom. As always, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. Coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me are we.
Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. Coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.